This is a production of Cornell University.
Alright, so with that, a little behind, but 12:21, we're calling the meeting to order. The clerk would please call the roll.
Imani Allen.
Here.
Babatunde Ayanfodam.
Unexcused.
Matthew Parcella.
Unexcused.
Shelley Cowles.
Not Shelley Cowles.
New name.
Shelley has a new name.
Shelley has a new name.
And a new attitude.
Ashley Darko.
Unexcused.
Kevin Fish.
Here.
Tanya Grove.
Here.
Hazel Hall.
Here.
Laura Johnson Kelly.
Oh,
Jeremy Cruiser.
Here.
Christy Long.
Here.
Christine Mahoney.
Here.
Linda Majani.
Here.
Robert Morris.
Here.
Brandy Nicholson.
Here.
Tamara Payne.
Unexcused. Oh, hey. So, here.
Carrie Sanzone.
Yay!
Tammy Shapiro.
Here.
Kathy Shields.
Here.
BJ.
Here.
Ulysses.
Of course.
Michelle Stefanski Samor.
Here.
Kilar Thompson.
Here.
Susan Wilcox.
Here.
Fantastic. Great attendance today. All right. Next item on the agenda. Thank you, because I totally didn't grab one. Next item on the agenda, there's going to be a call for late additions to the agenda. If anybody has something that they would like to submit to be considered that is not currently on the agenda for today, speak now. Seeing none, we are going to move forward. Also, if you folks want to sit at the table, you are welcome to do so. I don't like people to feel like they're excluded from this conversation. We're a collegial body. So please feel free to pull up a chair if you like. I'd rather you did. Next item on the agenda, approval of the minutes from October 19th. It's our last meeting. Amendments, motions at this time. They were in the box, mm-hmm. So you should have had the chance to review them.
I'll make a motion to approve those minutes if no one has anything.
It's been a motion to approve. It's been seconded. Is there any dissent? Seeing none, the minutes are approved. Next is a report from the chair. So a couple things. So the EA retreat, I was going to present the cleaned up goals that we discussed and settled on at the EA retreat, but the week has been a little hectic, so we didn't quite do that. But they are in the box. They just aren't the quite cleaned up complete sentences version just yet, which is what the only cleanup will be, is just putting them in common language so everybody can get it. But they're in the box for everybody to review if you so like, and we will be following up on those at our next meeting. Next is just talking about our EA leadership meeting. BJ, Chad Coates, and I met with Mary Opperman last Monday. Last Monday. And the bulk of that conversation was around the employee and the staff survey, and talking about exactly what Laura brought up and what we talked about at the retreat a bit, was just about understanding and figuring out a way to codify the roles of the Division of Human Resources, Institutional Research and Planning, and the Employee Assembly in the way the survey is developed, administered, reviewed, and followed up on when the results come out. So that was the bulk of the conversation, and so that's something that we'll be working on, and I've kind of punted that to Laura Johnson Kelly, who is going to kind of take the lead on getting that, or the roles for all three of those divisions codified, and that will of course include conversations with Mary, probably Marin Clarkberg, Linda Kroll Howell from HR Analytics, and of course exec will probably weigh in at some point, but we're here to help and guide you through that process, so we won't leave you like hanging in the wind. But if you are interested in also working on that project, please do let Laura know, and so we can kind of assemble a team that way to do it. Questions on that piece of it before we go on? Great. So at this time, did you want, or
sure.
Wait, hold on. The other thing is, at our next meeting on 11/16, We will be doing a transportation forum. So I know transportation has been a hot button issue. We've got gotten quite a few pieces of feedback after the president's address, specifically about parking and all types of other things. So we've reached out to Bridget Brady now, and then we'll try to invite some other folks to come in. So we haven't quite settled on a new meeting location, but the meeting location will likely change to accommodate additional folks. But there will be an EA update that is sent out next week that has that information. We'll be encouraging people to submit questions online, but also we'll inviting them to come in person to hear the answers. So I would encourage you, when that update goes out, via your Yammers and other pieces of media, social media that you use, or your email list, to let your colleagues know and your constituent groups know that that's a conversation that's going to happen, because we do want to encourage people to attend that one, because that is a thorn in many staff members' sides at this point.
And then I would also add, too, we're in an effort to make sure that it's a productive forum and not just members complaining about things in a venting session. We're going to solicit questions in advance and really try and stick to questions. So that, you know, it's fair to both the transportation staff members and all those folks that have questions. So it's meant to promote more conversation and more dialogue that's productive, rather than letting a forum kind of turn into just, here are all my issues, let me tell you about them, and not actually letting the transportation folks a chance to respond and kind of move forward with that as well, too. So look for that link as well, too, and send people with questions so that we can get them to transportation. So they'll actually have answers at our meeting. Rather than just, I'll get back to you, and then people just kind of leaving without answers
right.
as well.
Very well said.
So,
other items, the Board of Trustees met on Friday and Saturday. It was very long. very early, too. I actually showed up on Friday at 9 a.m. There, and then didn't realize that the meeting, I had switched around the meeting times. It was actually at 1 p.m. So that was fun. I was like, where's the coffee? Where are the people? No meeting. later in the afternoon. But so they did meet. They did, if you saw the news, BJ shared it, they did approve as a consent item the changing of the name of the Cornell Plantations to Cornell Botanic Gardens. In addition, they heard reports from actually my boss on diversity and inclusion, the inclusion report, as well as Charlie, our lovely dean of the faculty, also did his report. And there are a couple of other things. And if you'd like to talk about those items, we can talk about what was available in the open session. And that's it. If you saw in the box, this is my last two things, I promise. If you saw in the box, I was perusing, thinking about charter changes and bylaws and constituent groups. So DFA, lovely DFA, has put up org charts on their site. So in an effort to try and help people identify their constituent groups and what offices might be underneath them, I've put a link to that up in the box under, I want to say it's under the elections committee. It's a document in there. It's not formatted well at all, but it just kind of lays out some basic, like, here's this office that is probably underneath this seat. So that if you are having trouble in thinking through who your constituent group actually is, that might be a good place to start. And you can add and delete things from that document as you see fit. That helps, but it just helped to kind of highlight some offices that way. And I'd encourage you to take a look at those org charts. They were very helpful. Now the final announcement will go to BJ.
So I would like to announce I'm going back to school full-time starting in the spring. So my last day as an official full-time staff member will actually be December 9th. So there will be a vacancy for the executive vice chair position, but I'll still be on campus. I'm part-time enrolled in the ILR program here, so I'm just enrolling that full-time. So I will be still very close right over there in that building as well, too, and involved in some way, shape, or form. I hear that you need, like, a GPSA liaison or something like that. So we will find a way to stay involved in some way, shape, or form. I was also informed that, you know, there might be things that I can do with office and whatnot. So I will still be around, just not necessarily sitting here.
Much to our chagrin. No.
Or to your delight, depends on who you talk to.
DJ always keeping me in check. No. So that being said, we will be opening up the floor for nominations, not at this moment, but we will be looking to hold an election for this seat on December 7th.
Are you in both communications as well?
No, we might do communications before then, likely. We were going to do it today, but the agenda, we have a few too many things to get through. And I haven't actually heard any interest
yeah.
in that
yeah.
seat yet.
I haven't either.
So, we'll try to draw some interest for both, but take note, December 7th, Executive Vice Chair, we will be holding that election. So if you're interested in the seat, I encourage you to talk to BJ first and read the bylaws and kind of get an understanding of it, of what the role entails, and then we can go from there. We're doing it in December, and that will give you an opportunity to actually kind of shadow BJ, work with BJ. Your hard start date will be in January when that session begins. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Just so there's a good finite end date for him, but you have mm-hmm. some sort of overlap, and just so there's enough time to transition, because it's a lot. Not too much, but it's a lot of things are automated these days, people,
yeah.
so I just want you to know, like, there's not like an overwhelming amount of work. All right, so any questions about any of that before we move on? Great. Moving to business of the day, we are fortunate enough to be enhancing our partnership with the faculty side of the institution, and so we have our wonderful Dean of the Faculty, Charlie Van Loan, here to talk to us a bit about the Academic Calendar Committee, as well as conversation we've been pretty immersed in for the last few years.
Yeah.
Talara has been involved in that, the representation of non-professorial academic staff. I sent out the links beforehand. They were included there, so you have a chance to kind of read over what's on the website, but it's there, and I'll turn it over to you, Charlie, to take it away.
Great. Yeah, so let me start with a simple topic. This is sort of an advanced heads up. It's not a dramatic thing, but we're having preliminary discussions about a topic that concerns three groups that are in the EA currently. The first are postdocs, of which there are about 550. And these are people who typically maybe just finished their PhD and are working in somebody's lab or working in the department. There are 500 of them. Then we have about 1,000 instructors, lecturers, researchers. These are all non-tenure track folks. They also are in the EA. So the question is, should we take these groups and move them elsewhere? So for example, the postdocs, this is all very preliminary. I'm thinking out loud. I've done it with the associate dean. We've had a lunch with Ulysses and the EPSA chair, just bouncing ideas around. For example, it makes a lot of sense to move postdocs into the GPSA.
Mm-hmm.
And that is because they have a lot, when you think of mentoring and whatever, it seems like a natural kind of alliance. Instructors and lecturers, they typically go to department meetings. They're involved in the teaching mission, the research mission,
yeah.
close proximity to faculty. It seems to make sense to have them in some way connected to the university faculty through the Senate somehow.
Mm-hmm.
So the questions for you are a couple of them. So first of all, this would reduce your ranks from 8,500, I think is the number, to 7,000, so whatever that might be. So I guess the big question for me is, at any time, like in this meeting or in your own setting, have issues about postdocs, instructors, researchers come up?
Yes, in terms of events, postdocs in my office,
okay.
You know, there were some issues we talked about. This is our retreat issue,
mm-hmm.
maternity leave. She has the faculty plan rather than the staff plan. I think it's really unclear. And actually, she's now a research associate, and that's a producer glossed over because why are there
Oh, no, I didn't. There's all these different types of researchers.
But the researchers, are you including them as people that should be working with faculty
yes.
somehow?
The research associate, yeah.
Research, there are all these different research associates, senior research associates, lecturers, senior lecturers.
the thing is that the research associates, what they actually do may be more akin to what staff does. And it may be less appropriate for them to be one thing faculty than the staff as they are currently, compared with postdocs who are one step beyond being.
So what example do you have of us? We've spent 2 years
mm-hmm.
here at the EA actively courting. Trying to get lecturers, trying to get researchers, senior research associates to come here to participate, voice their concerns.
Okay.
The problem is the majority of research associates, lecturers, senior lecturers are either teaching the courses, they are leading the curriculum, they are also writing grants, presenting grants, and doing the leading the research, and also supervising and training PhDs and postdocs. So there are aspects that affect human resources, as it were, as we discussed with benefits.
and the academic non-professorial staff, the HR rep will actually reach out to the dean of faculty, for example, within the department sometimes, and look at the academic policies that affect those benefits. So everyone, yes, is obviously an employee of Cornell and their staff members per se, but when it comes down to their main concerns, we've tried and courted and asked, and they're looking at their grants, they're looking at their research, they're looking how they have to supervise the postdocs. They're not necessarily thinking as we are, at least for the last 2 years, that we've been knocking on doors and trying to get their point of view. And as the EA, we haven't had them come to us looking for assistance.
It's just in my department, there's a huge difference between lecturers who teach and research associates who never ever set up.
So one thing, Charlie, that you hadn't mentioned, she's coming from the library, so librarians...
Oh, no, I'm not. I'm in the department of years of study.
Okay.
Give me an example of a research, someone with a research title that you mentioned, I believe, that really, whose job description really resonates with the EA as opposed to, let's say, faculty.
Well, I have a woman in my office who
Can you just briefly describe what does she do?
Her job is she comes in and she's reading Cornell Chatwood every day, and she's dealing, as I do, as researcher support for people who are not at Cornell. I provide photographs.
Okay.
She might provide a translation.
Okay.
But we're acting in a very similar role. We're both of us working together in concert to get the publication series out. She does different things than I do as a collection manager, but she's not acting as a professor.
Okay.
And so she can, doesn't really have anything to do with students. I have more to do with students than she does.
And so,
Tim.
And I myself report to the research associate very much, and felt more responsibility as a very senior employee.
So I guess when you can't really draw a circle and say they're all the same. There's a tremendous variation in that category. And for these examples, would those people be upset if they were? Would there be some loss of, would something be lost if they were somehow aligned with the Senate and faculty?
I don't think most people know how they're categorized.
I think the nuance to that, Charlie, is that most folks, and this is true of shared governance anywhere, things are all fine if you ask them that until something goes wrong.
Right.
Yeah.
So right now, it's okay, but I think we're trying to find, and I think this is our concern, is that because these groups don't fall very neatly into one of the assemblies, when there is a concern, we don't know how to hear those concerns and address them. And I think that to us is the broader issue, is that we don't even know really what the concerns are because it's hard for us to give them voice in the first place.
Yeah.
And we're not here because it isn't as if like 100 lecturers knocked on my door saying what's
yep.
going on. We're unaware of problems. It does serve as, like, for example, in elections, I get a call from a chair. I can't send you a senator. We're too small. And everyone's booked up. I wish I could send you this lecture because that person is keeping, they can't. So that's the kind of thing I see. Yeah.
Michelle?
As a veterinary college, I would say most of them report back to faculty. But that's not saying that if they didn't have an employee issue that they couldn't come to the EA anyway when they did have a problem.
Right.
So since they haven't come to the table so far, if we can assign them a place, it'll be new discussion for them to know that they have a place and let them know that they could have some of those voices.
When I just stepped through the thing, there was all sort of academically driven, but then there's the whole HR scene, which doesn't align necessarily. Okay, so nothing's going to happen. I think maybe in the spring there might be some more formal discussion, and we'll have to look more carefully at this. But I just wanted to mull it over, and if you can think of a new thing, just send me a note so that when we do get the formal about changing things, we have all the information. All right, so the other thing is the calendar, and this isn't super important to have the webpage yet, but this is the subject. So let me just go through things. So there was a calendar committee from 2010 to 2012. It took them 2 years, and to come up with what we'll call the current calendar. And it solved some problems, but one of the problems right now that we hear is also some concern that, the spring break comes too late, whatever. So anyway, if we keep the start and finish the same fiddle with, those two breaks. There's also fiddling to put you with the exam here. This is a little bit less dramatic, but the study days, the gap between last class, first exam, there's some issues, some issues there, but I want to go on to the really big thing, which is
there's no
water.
Yeah, there was.
That's what I was
This is my big moment. the thing on this table here is actually staging the spring semester earlier. Okay. Now, we're in contact with Ithaca College. They have the week before our commencement is their commencement. We can't land on top of that. It's unclear whether they're interested in fiddling with them. Let's assume not. That means, should we move the entire spring semester 2 weeks earlier? The driver behind this, is I think it's a really important issue, is summer jobs for students. This gives 2 extra weeks for employment, and that's significant and important. We end much later. The average ending in universities of our type is the Ithaca weekend, Ithaca College weekend. That's typically, the second to last weekend in May. That's typically when most places wrap up. We're late. We're very late. Going back on the other end, some people feel that the intersection is too long. I personally love it, right? A lot of faculty love it. But you kind of bide your time there. It's sort of like 5 weeks long. And if we shove the whole semester earlier, then that becomes like 3 weeks. Anyway, so here's why I'm here, which is these are some of the parameters we're playing with. We have a website. It's very detailed. There are like 12 different issues that you can lodge a comment was posted on the website. We're just getting ready to publicize all this. So there are lots of topics, and you can go there to find out about stuff. But here's what I'm not worried about, but really want to make sure we do it right, which is, how do you reach employees, okay? So there's so many different types of employees. You know, a dorm worker will see things a certain way. Someone on building and grounds sees things a certain way. An administrative assistant sees things in a certain way. And I want to make sure all these different constituencies know about this and throw their ideas in the hopper. That's the key thing. Now, so what I want to hear from you is how to best go about doing that. You know, so for faculty, I just send a link around, you know, and then they're off and running. We can contact all the dean's offices, and it's real easy for us to get out there, you know, and make sure people know about this and respond. And what I don't want to have happen is big flurry at the start, right, which there will be in a week or two, then dead silence, then the committee comes back with recommendations in March, and then it's, oh, I never knew you were doing this, and I didn't get, you know, you didn't listen to me. That's what I want to end. Okay, I don't want that to happen. And there's also, I told us at the trustee meeting in my little 10-minute thing, I said, this is a teaching moment. This is about the only occasion where faculty, staff, students, alumni, trustees all have an interest in this. So if we do it right, it'll elevate people's awareness of other constituencies. You know, it's not just me and my kids in the local schools in February break. That, you know, like if we, there's some employees who get no holiday from Martin Luther King Day to July 4th because they're asked to work on commencement weekend.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay, now you put that side by side with other calendar, you know, I'm just saying there's a great advantage here of all of us participating in this. So I see it as a teaching moment. It's a 10 teaching moment. There's a lot of unhappy people in the end. But nevertheless, it's an opportunity to think big, you know, think broad. Okay.
well, the EA can send,
yeah.
Can send, can send. Go ahead.
I can today. I can reach everyone in human health. I think it's
right.
A mix.
Yeah, amongst people. The EA itself can send an email to all staff. We've done
yes.
it multiple times.
Oh, you can, you
yes.
All 8,000 staff.
All staff.
All,
everybody's
yes.
covered.
And so, well, one thing I talked to Mary Opperman about this issue, and whether or not, does email work for people? Would some people prefer, we could cook up a one pager, a piece of paper, and put it in places and have people respond.
Exactly.
Would that be a useful thing to have?
It depends. And I say, because there are some folks who, even we saw with the staff survey, they had to get it mailed to them because they don't do email.
Yes.
But there's actually a good speakers list going, so I'm not going to talk. But Hazel was first, then Tanya, then Brandy. Hazel, did you go for it?
I work for building care. So there's
campus wide or just a corner of the campus? The whole campus?
I represent all buildings.
Oh, great.
So there's about, last I knew, 420 employees.
Okay.
I can say that the calendar changed. On the residential side,
mm-hmm.
it's killing my staff. They have 2 days to go from students moving out
mm-hmm.
to commencement guests moving in.
Okay.
So we have to take a room that a student hasn't been in all year and
oh my
make
God.
It look like a Holiday Inn downtown. We're right. talking the towels and the soap and the pretty bathrooms. And,
okay.
And so, like last summer with it being so hot, I had staff that were soaked with sweat from the top of their head to the bottom of their pockets of their pants.
So before and after, it's 2 days now. What was it before?
We had 6 days.
Whoa.
Mm.
Much
better. So this is exactly the kind of thing I want, right? So in other words, one of the paragraphs here is something about the gap between, or one of the places you can comment is the gap between lab class and commencement, that kind of stuff. And I really want comments like that side by side with other stuff that maybe comes from a student or a faculty member. So how do we do that? Will people?
I know all the managers for building care.
Yeah.
Let's put it that way. And I work with the three associate directors that sends out, and Ben Kuo and
right.
Hugh Wang, and
okay.
you know, I talk to them all the time. So that would be the best way to do it. But I also want to make another comment. When the parents are coming to campus to pick up their students,
mm-hmm.
I hear all the time, why are we picking them up on a Wednesday? Why are we picking them up on a Tuesday?
Oh.
We used to come here on a Saturday. I didn't have to take a day off from work, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay.
So I hear that a lot.
So just real quick, I wanted to hear from you. There are sort of two ways that people, the information is going to show up on the website. The person in the street, anyone in the street can send in a comment. But we're also going to contact offices. You know, like I'm going to contact Athletics. We're going to contact CURW. There are about 20 different offices. And say, you run that office. What does the calendar look like to you as the office person? So we could do that here. That we can, you're saying we can handle that email wise and in the web.
Some mailing, because a lot of my employees do not use their email at all.
Okay, so what I want to do is then be able to bounce off of you and others what a one pager might look like.
Okay.
Just to get the, brief, just to the point, easy
right.
to fill up. Yeah. So.
Tanya, you say?
So my suggestion just on that one pager is would be great to hang it at PineCon.
Yep.
Right.
Because I think that will reach
yep.
many people
mm-hmm.
who don't necessarily use it.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. So, and how do, so I cook up this one pager, I run it by you folks, then where do I show up with the 8,000 pieces? how do we get it out
so
there?
So I wouldn't think 8,000 pieces
definitely.
Of paper. I would probably imagine, and maybe we can take some info from Marin and team at Institutional Research to say where do they have to mail pieces to people, because they specifically target mail.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, if I put up here in 2 weeks with stuff, that would be another mechanism, or is it better to use campus mail? Or
you can show up here with stuff. And the
yeah.
good news is that IT, actually Leslie Meyerhoff, not in IT, but in SCL, we actually had a meeting yesterday about an unrelated matter, but she was saying, we worked on a project to map out where all the time clocks are.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So we know
yeah.
where those are. So if there is a one pager, we can simply give those to the appropriate building managers to place where they need to be placed. And I would, yes, it'd be good for you to run that by here, but I would say also the office of the assemblies is probably the place to actually distribute things. I get you on the list.
Yeah.
per Tanya's suggestion, we could probably reach out to IRP and get that number. Hold on, there's a list now, and Brandy was next, and then Jeremy, and then Nancy.
Well, I think the other piece of that is then what is the mechanism for people who are not using computers to get back to using the website to get this information?
We're not covered with the plan. There's a website for those who can and would like to use that versus some hard copy distribution. Is there still things that are going to fall through the cracks with that? Or?
Well, there are just staff members who don't access computers for their job and may not have them at home. So if they had to come in.
The time clock thing.
But where were they spending
How do you get them
time?
Back?
We can look at this. There's some easy pull up where they can pop it in
right
the campus
the
mail.
Time.
Or
suggestion box.
It's a time clock.
Oh,
that's good.
Nice.
Yes, that's really good. Suggestion boxes at the top.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm writing things. Jeremy, did you have
something? That was actually what I was looking at, is how are we going to collect the feedback from those folks.
Non-CC, yeah.
And the timeline for all this data is definitely the fall semester here. So in the next 4 or 5 weeks, that would be an adequate window, you think, for...
Yeah. Nancy?
I am the editor of Alternate, which is a staff paper. Mm-hmm. And when we used to have a paper version, we generally ran 1,100 copies of the paper version, and that went to all of what's now IPC. Well, all of what used to be facilities under two. So, also went to the
I could also put an ad in Fort Wayne, like a classified ad, right?
Absolutely. We can put an article in asking people to respond.
Yeah. Well, we're going to ask the Chronicle. The Sun's going to do something too, but probably within a week or so, just a big push. Any other comments?
Go ahead.
No,
go ahead, and then Brian.
There are two previous examples that I think could potentially be a model. So the campus master plan exercise, and then, forgive me for mentioning Bain reimagining it, but both of those used a model of community form, kind of open feedback forum, participated in a couple of the campus master plan that was a wide audience, broad representation of people. They weren't very long. I think it was Campus Master Plan where people actually walked up to a board and put post-its of this date seems could create this problem or this part of the plan. Perhaps that's a model that would help reach out into the accessible field.
Okay.
Interactive.
You remind me of something. Thought about should we have an open town hall? You think that's a useful idea? I think it's symbolically a nice idea, but there's also the occasion for a staff person to get up and say something and a student doing the same. You think a town hall type thing is a good idea?
Yeah.
Okay.
Brian?
Oh, really? Oh, so go around campus, in other words, we're going to be at lunchtime or in the next school or something like that.
Yeah, just to make sure we have some non-lunchtime ones for dining staff.
Right.
Because I think that the calendar will impact them.
Yeah.
Right. Brian?
I was going to say that when Darren was here and talking about the mail employee survey, that they encourage supervisors to give their employees time to do it as much as like year to day two, and sometimes like part of work for that day. I think that would be important too. And then the other thing is we've worked with Mayor pretty closely, so we can help identify that. We can also identify, I think in the data we currently have about staff who uses a punch clock and who doesn't use a punch clock, so we could help make sure people listen that way.
Absolutely. Hazel?
Then there's several shifts of not everybody works 8 to 4.
Right.
So.
Tammy?
This notion of a town hall actually fits into our objective articulated last Thursday of bringing across these categories together to share experiences and connect.
I mean, it's a great, as I said, it's a teaching moment. But I can't think of a single thing that works like this.
I mean, go ahead.
Enjoy it while it lasts.
Go ahead.
We know that
And so that's also a conversation thinking about Geneva.
Yeah, making sure we get Geneva.
Right, and any other satellite campuses
right.
That are available. So getting them involved. But Tammy, I think you're absolutely right thinking of our objectives. And so maybe, I'm not speaking on behalf of the assembly just yet. But if there's a way, Charlie, for us to partner and assist
mm-hmm.
in actually sponsoring a town hall and putting it together.
Right, yeah.
I think that would be something we would be open to doing.
Okay, and for employees, like doing stuff that first week in November is a disaster with students, but it would be okay to have something then, I'm trying to like to get as much done in the fall.
Mm-hmm. I have to turn that up to this group. I'm not sure what dates work, because I'm not a student-facing staff member.
I guess
so.
Have a couple of them, so that takes the pressure off.
December.
Well, we're running out of time. You know, Thanksgiving's coming up, right? So we have just two, very, it would seem that would be after Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
I think it's A then B. We want to get this out. We want the Sun article, the Chronicle article, and get these one-pagers out there, and then somehow stage town hall. Time is just going so quick. I don't know.
So how about we bounce some ideas off across our listserv, the members' listserv, and any suggestions you also have, feel free to email them directly to Charlie, and we can try to, but for us, in order to think about dates and what we have
mm-hmm.
going on, I think we might need to talk first.
Yeah, sure. It's easy for me. I mean, we don't need the whole committee there. I mean, myself and a couple of others.
Right.
It'd be very easy on our end to show up here. Just have to know what works with the...
Yeah, yeah. No, I think you're right. I just... want to make sure I don't like each other.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right, yeah. So it's
your water.
if you go to I'll make a quick link over here, but if
okay.
you go up, we have a bunch of things under Stay Informed, and one of them is the calendar. But I'll make it a quick link so everybody can find
right.
it.
And so the other part of this is that you're looking for an employee representative on the calendar
yeah.
committee. So that is an opening that we have available, and we're gonna throw in out now for nominations. I see that Hazel has nominated herself. Like, you're just volunteering for everything.
I have to say that somebody's gonna have to go to Mary's committee because I can't do both.
Oh. Oh yeah. Well, apparently I'm still on that call as a witness, so some type of way.
I'm a big fan. We want to push this more because it's so hard to get people on committees of a buddy system. Just get
two people. Right.
I would encourage you to have, I'm just one of the buddy system. It's okay to name two people. If either one or both can show up.
I'm happy with that idea. I'm glad you said it and I didn't. So Hazel has thrown out her hat in here.
Imani.
Gina has also, and Imani. So the three of you, two, I don't know if you want to narrow it down or you just, if you're okay
Tara.
With three folks. Actually, I think it's a pretty good cross-section, to be very honest,
yeah.
of folks who work in very different places.
Yeah, because I would represent staff. Imani is an RHD that works with students.
Right.
And she has RA staff.
Yeah.
Right.
And I'm representing student and campus life, so.
Which is
yeah.
it's a very broad.
Yeah.
yeah. And
so
I mean, it wouldn't be bad if more than one showed up at a meeting. I imagine at some point there's going to be proposals and votes. There's one, the way it's set up now, like
mm-hmm.
grad students have one vote, you guys have two, and EA has one, but I don't care who comes as we go through today. You'd all be on our email list, so whenever I email the calendar committee, all three or two of you would get it, and
right.
be absolutely fine.
I think we can do two things. One, we can actually vote to approve the three of you as our collective representative to the
mm-hmm.
calendar committee.
Yes.
I think between the three of you, you all would need to decide between, because I'm not creating this, but between the three of you decide who's going to be the vote-carrying
yes.
person. I don't necessarily
this
think...
This will all come up for like a couple of months. So, but
yeah.
All I need is like just the three emails at some point, and then you're on
there you
the
go.
So... are people fine with us putting that to a vote now to approve Hazel, Imani, and Gina as the collective three representatives to the Academic Calendar Committee?
Yes.
So
yes.
there's a second to that motion. All those in favor of approving those, please raise your placards. That's Those opposed? And those who abstain? I'm assuming Hazel and Imani are abstaining from this vote. So by a vote of 17 to 0 to 2, the three of you collectively are appointed as our representative to the academic calendar committee. And we will be in touch very, very shortly. I'll send out a note after this meeting about kind of summarizing what this conversation was, and then following up on helping to put together a town hall forum or something of that sort and some dates for you. So much appreciated for you sharing
you
this
try.
Again and taking the time out for this. And if you have any other comments about academic staff being represented, send those directly to Charlie, or feel free again to bounce them across our listserv. I do want to make a point that our listserv is open and available to all of you to use. It is kind of a discussion listserv. I know we send things out there formally, but it is for you. Jeremy has been making great use of it. That's what the point of it is. So you have that question? Huh? Oh, good. Thank you.
So it's very complicated. Everything's related. The website hopefully spans all the places to register concerns. There's also a miscellaneous category.
Yeah.
If you made the change, how far out is it? Did you decide in the spring and then
It would be the earliest possible thing would be 2018-19. That would be a one more year, full year on the current calendar.
There's lead time. Don't worry. With anything, it's hard to just bring down the hammer and record on change now. Okay. All right. So with that, it's time for that being exhausted. Thanks again, Charlie. We're going to move down to introducing new business. Again, new business is information that has or actions that have not been brought before the assembly before. They may not be voted on, meaning they can't be approved as they are new business, unless somebody makes a motion to move them to business of the day when it gets to that juncture. Is that clear for folks? Okay. So as of right now, they are just for introduction. To be introduced, you may make comments or ask questions that are not argumentative in nature. So this is more of kind of an informative period. You may make motions at any point to either move them to business of the day to be considered in full debate or discussion and to be eligible to vote on them and approve them today. You may also make referrals to committees for a committee to consider an action. You may do all types of other things. You may table them indefinitely, whatever it is you feel impassioned to do at the moment. So the first item up for discussion is Resolution 4, Cornell Commitment to Web Accessibility, and our sponsor is Jeremy Kruiser. The floor is yours.
So this resolution is looking at our current web accessibility, which we don't have a standard for. It hasn't been checked. And in my experience with 4 weeks, we have very low accessibility to our websites for people with disabilities. Coming on once.
Oh, yeah. I got you.
Yeah, I was going to say, pass the laptop. So,
gotcha.
Oh, BJ, we're going to work that out. Just kidding.
So, going on, just to cover that again, we currently do not have an accessibility standard on campus. Our websites are really fairly inaccessible to folks with disabilities, and this resolution is really to kind of get a foot in the door and set just a base standard for accessibility for all websites under the Cornell.edu domain. And it's been about 20 years now since the federal resources is discrimination. We are not required currently to follow that federal regulation for federal buildings, for federal websites. But since Cornell has said, and I've listed these in the whereas clauses, that we are committed to equality and anti-discrimination, I think that we are really to say it is one thing, but we need to actually put action to our words and set a basis of acceptability.
Mm-hmm. All right, so with that, I'm going to open the floor for questions. Laura, then BJ. No.
And if we don't, I think we should consider adding
one. So I think that was actually considered during the restructuring because the affinity groups, the affinity representatives are based on the colleague network groups. The pushback, not I won't say pushback, but the concern was that you don't want to out people, right? People who choose to self-identify as individuals with disabilities, and then understanding what that definition is, and then I think it made some people uncomfortable. And so I think for that reason, and of course, that's something that transcends all of your actual seats, your allocated seats. You all could effectively represent that group. So that is something, but I would say the diversity rep actually is kind of a decent catch-all. I won't say catch-all, but catch-all for part of that constituent
yeah.
group.
I can answer that a little bit. So yeah, based on last year, we were trying to figure out a way to not just create arbitrary seats, because again, we were trying to make constituent groups. So that's why there wasn't, we're trying to, again, pick things with colleague networking groups in that regard, too, and then a way to opt in, but
right.
That's more. But again, it's something to, if that's something that this body feels strongly about, I'm happy to take suggestions about that, too, but that's the thinking from that process as well. Mm.
Did you have more, though?
I think it's a great idea. I'm very glad to hear from
BJ?
My question is, so I like the background and things on it too. Is this something that we've already connected with CIT? Have there already been efforts, or is this something that we'd like them to connect? Like, what has been their background on it?
My understanding is that this issue was brought up as part of a larger campus accessibility package previously. It was not passed at that time. The resources weren't available. What I'm trying to do is to kind of get your foot in the door,
mm-hmm.
is take one piece, narrow it down to essentially the least common denominator, and get that passed. Because if we can get that far, if we can get just a record of this is our standard, we can build off of there in future years as resources become available, as we perfect one piece, we can look at what change we can make next to, again,
yep.
further improve kind of that iterative improvement. So this, while not unique, is new in kind of its boiled down fashion.
Yeah. What Jeremy's referencing is the Campus Welfare Committee of the University Assembly last year considered a very large omnibus resolution that was, part of it was based on something that the Student Assembly actually passed during their term last year, which was a very large thing about accessible events and programming and things like that, which was a recommendation. So it incorporated that plus the web accessibility piece and a couple of other things that I can't remember off the top of my head. I think it was around physical accessibility.
Access, yeah.
Yeah. And that was, it was a very large thing, and some folks were a little scared about it.
And I've got some plans.
Yeah. So, but because it was, go ahead.
Web accessibility, and in the resolves, you'll see that the baseline standard is to meet Section 508 standards, which is the federal requirements, and a minimum of a conformance with the current web content accessibility guidelines, which is really, if you meet Section 508, you will meet a requirement. There's a reason why I put both of those in, and it's because of the changes that are coming to section 508, and I can explain more of that in detail at some other point.
Thank you
for bringing that up, because that's actually really important. I tried to address, one is, yes, I'd be very interested in the rest of that information, because I don't have all of that. Anything that you can share with me would be excellent. In the first resolve clause, one of the ways that I'm trying to mitigate some of that get us something to work from is the requirement for only for newly created sites to be created in compliance with section 508, not a remediation of all of our existing sites. That would be, I think, not possible to do right now. And the second piece was that requiring those legacy sites only to be updated in conformance upon major updates. And that's if you're redesigning the site, then you need to take the section 508 requirements into consideration. So this is not a, we need to scan all of our sites and fix all of them now. I think that would be, I don't think that would be possible. As far as the annual testing and reporting, my thought there, and it isn't fully fleshed out in here, and that's intentional, is that there would be some discussion on what means of reporting we can use. My initial thoughts are a distributed system of testing using automated tools, where those each of the functional groups, colleges, schools, would be scanning their own system, report once a year, and at some point sending that to a central location for compilation and dispersal.
BJ?
So my comment was somewhat related to that too. So I agree with Carrie. I don't know if we could necessarily do all that, but that's what I want to point out is lines 44 and 45. It's not saying that everything has to be recalled. It's just moving forward, which I think is a good move on that part as well. So,
seeing no other comments at this point, and this, seeing that this is only open for introduction right now, I think this is a I think this is a great first step. I think you, thanks Carrie for bringing up a lot of the concerns that you did. And if you could share that information that you have with Jeremy, and that could be shared with the rest of the assembly when we bring it back at the next meeting, we can actually discuss it a bit more robustly. In the interim, we'll reach out again to the ADA coordinator team and some other folks and see if we can get them in the room for part of that discussion.
Yeah.
If not, get this reviewed by the by the personnel policy committee
yeah.
as well. But Matt's not here, so I don't want to commit him to something like that.
Feel free
right.
to email me or the EA list.
Perfect. All right, so next item on the agenda is, so that will be back next week. Next item on the agenda is resolution five, or next meeting, resolution five. This is endorsing the Ithaca plan, a public health and safety approach to drugs and drug policy, also sponsored by Jeremy Kreuzer and Linda Kopman, who is our employee representative on the university assembly. The UA actually passed this. Did they pass this yesterday? We passed this yesterday, right? Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure we passed it. We passed this resolution yesterday through the UA. It was a very long meeting. And so what was the sentiment was to do a companion one in the other assemblies as well. So Jeremy, I'll turn it over to you.
Okay. I'm not sure if everybody's familiar with this plan yet.
I'll pass it around if you'd like to see it.
So. There's a copy of it going on. This is a plan developed by Mayor Americans is a council that they put together. I'm losing my notes now. There we go. A public health policy that's being put together to try to move the handling of drug addiction from criminalization more towards recovery and through treatment center opening up safe injection sites in Ithaca. It's huge plan. I haven't finished reading through all of the details, but I have spoken to the policymakers involved and gotten descriptions of how the plan is to be implemented. I think one of the key features to this is something similar to some of the other policies we've been looking at, which is how do we handle addiction and treatment? And this isn't a unique policy. There have been similar throughout the country, and in other countries the results have been positive in every implementation. And I don't see any reason why it would be any different here. So I think this is a great idea, moving resources from criminalization towards rehabilitation and recovery.
So just to clarify this, so this action from us would be a formal endorsement of a plan. It's not an act of legislation that is dictating something that happens at the institution. It's just an endorsement of a local plan. I would point out for additional context, the second, third, and fourth whereas clauses were added by the mayor when in his communications with Gina and Linda, specifically about kind of the impact on staff. And it's been in the news a lot over the last few years, but if you recall, there have been quite a few students who have been ringleaders in major heroin rings or other drug rings or other controlled substance rings that have been raided on campus, have been arrested on campus, and sadly who do contribute to a lot of the activity happening in the local community. And as he points out, you know, the Cornell community is larger than the city itself. And the impact that all of that has on the staff that are working here, who many of you advise students, those who counsel, those who provide medical services, all of that falls on these communities. So that was kind of his additional push to think about the impact of a lot of this on staff. And so if you go through the plan itself, there are quite a few additional things that they're asking for or recommendations that they make in terms of some of the support services that they would like to be made available through the city and the county to help alleviate a lot of that pressure and stress. And so again, as Jeremy said, rethink the way we look at addiction and drug use around here.
I think one of the other pieces that I found compelling in that is the and in the resolution itself is some of the bridges that build between us and the city of Ithaca.
Right.
I think that's important to look at.
So I'll open this up for questions. Yep.
Laura?
This is intended just as an introduction. I don't think we wanted to vote on it today. I think that this is, hey guys, this is really cool and really important.
Right.
We're going to provide those materials, and we can make that available.
I am copying it and adding it to the box and emailing it out as we speak.
I'm sorry, that's my fault. I actually thought it was in the box, but I realized it. I put it in the CWC folder because the Campus Welfare Committee considered it for the UA, and so that's my fault. I just didn't put it in both places. So go ahead and then I'll get to time. It's all right.
Did you said this passed with the UA last night?
I don't think it did.
Did we vote on it?
It was presented. Same thing you just got with that.
Yeah, it went through the CWC, but it didn't.
Yeah, it didn't.
It was introduced last night.
Yep.
As in the resolution itself?
Yes.
Oh, yes. This is the exact same as in the
con-
No, I'm saying it wasn't voted on.
It wasn't voted on. So if they decide that they want to make changes to it and then they vote to pass it,
mm-hmm.
I'd be curious to see how the copy that we're looking to vote on differs from what their final vote is for.
No, point well taken. The beauty of each assembly is that they can tailor something to fit.
Not to say we want to go along with that.
No, exactly. But I mean, like, if you all felt, for instance, because I mean, the UA jurisdiction is a little, their view is a little different. But I mean, if you all wanted to make this much more applicable to the staff population in particular and wanted a different set of, a different type of follow-up than what's suggested in the resolution itself, because right now the resolution currently suggests that they provide updates to the UA every October. If you wanted, you know, a written progress report or some website post or something that was provided at a different time, that would be up to you all to decide. And that's the jurisdiction of this assembly to make that call. So the versions that are passed in each assembly don't always have to mirror each other. The spirit can be the same, but the actual result can be a little different. So, Tanya?
Say that the mayor was going to go to the state
mm-hmm.
for fun, and he wanted the assemblies to back him to strengthen his thing. So I think it is something that needs to be looked at.
And they get, and that it'll be voted on in the, or considered in the next legislative session. So that's January through June. So at any point in time, they could consider it. Then we don't know exactly when that is, but he did kind of seek support from each of the assemblies.
And I think
I just don't want to quickly
vote on there was a public forum that when the mayor actually came and talked about it at Willard Strait Hall, I think
yeah.
a few weeks ago now at this point. But that was something that happened, and again, like when these things come up, and something's put on the agenda, this is the time where you forward it to your constituent groups, seek input, say, this is on the agenda. Either come to the meeting, or if you have comments or something, a statement you want to submit, submit it to me prior, and I'll make sure that's voiced at the meeting. Because that's the way, I mean, not everybody can show up all the time, but that's a way to actually get some of the voices that may not always be heard all the time, heard in the meeting. Jeremy, and then we'll move on.
I think you make a really good point. We need to get some of that feedback. And if we'd like to have more discussion about this, then I think Linda's probably your best way. I wasn't actually supposed to present this, but she wasn't able to make it. But she's got a much finer understanding of it than I do. So I would strongly encourage you to reach out with your questions and let her respond.
Okay. All right, so in the remaining couple minutes, I'm going to give very brief introductions of these last two resolutions. At this point, I'm going to step down as chair and cede the cede the power to BJ. I missed the gavel. I should have brought my own.
So Will, Carrie, can you keep my hand to me the computer?
Oh, sorry. Jeremy, can you turn
it? So turning it over to Ulysses, and he'll introduce Resolution 6, which is the LGBTQ inclusion in campus records.
Sure. Oh, hey. no, this is horrible. All right. So so there are a couple of things, and I'm going to talk about them separately, but you can think about them together if you'd like. The first one is something, if you do recall, some of you who were actually seated on the EA last year, remember when Brian Pechkasi and I came and you all passed, thank you very much for that, a resolution that talked about changing people's legal name to preferred name in their campus records. And so that was approved by you all and then very quickly actually by President Garrett.
Yeah.
And her response is on the dashboard. You can see it and follow that resolution as it happened. And so what that resolution did was to say, hey, for all of our systems across the institution, no longer use legal name where we don't need to, and then use preferred name. So that has gone well. So since that resolution was put in place, and we've put the chronology kind of outlined here in the resolution itself, but since that change happened, as of July 1, Workday changed over completely to only this, so you can set your preferred name and Workday, and that's what populates. You're able to get your ID card done in your preferred name, which has been a great help for a lot of our employees and students. And so the reason the project actually took longer was because the Student Assembly actually passed a similar resolution after the EA did, and that got the registrar involved. And since they do PeopleSoft, that's what controlled the ID card, so it became a thing for everybody. So that was really helpful. So things have changed in PeopleSoft as well. The problem that we're running into now is that not necessarily our data of record, which would be Workday for employees and student employees, and then PeopleSoft for students and alumni. It's not so much them, it's all the downstream systems. So systems that Cornell uses either internally sometimes or externally who pull data from the Active Directory or their Enterprise Directory have not changed their codes or purchased the codes to only use preferred name when it's not an external facing function. That's causing a lot of employees to be outed. And it's putting people in very uncomfortable circumstances where they then have to explain themselves. We've had some circumstances, we've gotten through the bias system where people's legal name is being put on publicly posted schedules in certain places, so they are being outed, and that person may be presenting themselves as a particular gender. And that's been troublesome, to say the least. And so there are protections in place under Title VII. Of the Civil Rights Act, and we've had some very recent EEO decisions as well as executive orders from the President of the United States around this topic. And so this really is just, this resolution makes it very clear now that all the downstream systems need to change that, and as of a particular date, the Active Directory and the Enterprise Directory will no longer be pulling that or providing that data unless people ask for an exemption from that rule because they have an outward-facing purpose, meaning government reporting where we have to report legal sex and legal name for things, or a financial transaction where we report to banks and other sorts that actually need legal name to tie transactions to individuals. But other than that, if it's inward-facing, it can't show people's preferred or legal name. Does that make sense? So So that's the first resolution.
So I'm gonna hold questions, again, we're not voting on this, so I ask that you send me questions, I've just uploaded them in the box as well too, so put questions in there, and if you wanna introduce the second resolution.
What?
Yep.
So R7 very quickly, because I know we've expired, but R7 very quickly is pretty similar, in the sense of, well, not similar. It's also an LGBT focused issue, but it is something, it's actually, it's not just LGBT, it's a gender issue, to be very honest. So last year, something was brought to our attention, that in looking at the benefits that are offered, and we have very great benefits, by the way, when you are a same-sex couple or same-gender couple, there are certain things that are available to same-sex women, female couples, biologically female couples that are not available to same-sex male couples, particularly in regard to family planning. And that has a lot to do with insurance providers and what they choose to provide, some state regulations, what's available through our packages, and what we choose to advocate for and not advocate for in certain circumstances. So there's that sort of disparity. So what this resolution is calling for is to examine our benefits, do a thorough assessment of our benefits, identify benefits that are gendered in nature, or are gender specific, for whatever reason they are, provide a report to the assembly explaining why those benefits are gendered the way they are, if they actually need to be gendered, if there's a way to change them, outline what that change would be for us, and if benefits so chooses, prior to presenting us that information, if they choose to change some of those benefits, then go right ahead and do it. But that's really what this is calling for. And so it's not a dictate, it's not a mandate to say, switch all the benefits immediately. It's saying, give us in report form, help us understand what the benefits are, so then we can make an informed decision about what we need to do next. And it doesn't ask for that full report until March of 2017. So it's giving some folks some time, especially since Paul has just retired. So give some folks some time to kind of think that through. So that's all that this is asking for. So I encourage you to take some time over the next couple of weeks and send me questions or whatever you have and mull it over. And that's what it is. So
on that note, I've uploaded, I've created folders for all those things. So the Ithaca plan, I download from the website. It's now in a box with that resolution on box, and I'll upload the resolutions and other supporting documents into those folders as well too. So take a look at those things. Thank you, everyone.
Meeting
adjourned.
I didn't give you back chair.
Oh, sorry.
BJ remained chair for the rest of the meeting.
I remained chair.
And then he resigned. All right. Run into your mic cases.
Would that go? Oh, so that would go to fans. Not here.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.